Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to another Odyssey check-in at the Hard Rock Hotel in New York. You can call me Brad. You can call him Mike Shinoda. Hi.
Hi.
Mike, nice to see you.
Thanks for having me.
I want to get a couple of things out of the way first. Are you the one sending me these voicemails that go a little like this?
What do you say, Brad? Let's play a game.
Amazing.
Is this you?
Yeah, that's totally
Is that
me.
You?
Yeah.
Are we
the voice, what do they call it in the movie? The voice modulator.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's it works pretty well.
Are you Ghostface? Is that what we're here to reveal that you might actually
be? 100%. If this were one of the movies, it'd be fine that I say yes to,
sure.
Because then it would subvert your expectations and we'd go somewhere from there.
Death.
Be afraid.
Yes, I'm very, very afraid. This is kind of crazy. How exactly did we get here with Meteora, now Mike Shinoda, and a solo song with a Scream soundtrack?
It's a lot. I admit that it's a lot. I think what had happened. So let me just say on the Linkin Park stuff, because a lot of people are, because that's been out for a minute and people
are taking a stroll down memory lane for a while.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I think it started with wanting to look back. We had the Hybrid Theory 20th anniversary and fans kept asking, are you going to do one for the next album too? And my instinct in the beginning was no. I actually wasn't sure. Maybe I was like a little bit like unsure, but it depended. I was saying it depends on what we find. So we went into our hard drives, went into the, you know, storage and stuff, and like looked through material to see if there was something to make a 20th anniversary for Meteora. And there was a ton. I mean, like there's a whole album of like demos that no one has ever heard. Half of them have vocals on them. A handful of them are full blown finished songs. Mm-hmm. 70 something minute documentary of unseen footage. Like there's a lot in there.
And you've talked a lot about this in the past month or so. Is there a part of you that stumbles upon a memory that you probably forgot about that sort of reignited
that song? So Lost is the kind of, we released it as a lead single for the Meteora 20th project. Lost was a song that when we made Meteora, you know, we decided that we wanted 12 songs on the album and Lost was effectively the 13th song. Only reason it wasn't on there was because it was a little, in our opinion, it was a little too similar to Numb. Then we didn't include it on the album. It was mixed and mastered and we just kind of put it to the side and said, yeah, we're going to do something with this at some point. And then we didn't, and then we forgot about it.
You sometimes wrote for yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes wrote for Chester.
Yeah.
How are you writing now?
The fans like made fun of me for using the metaphor, but it's just tools in the toolbox. Like it's over the years, I just want to get better at doing it. And I remember on our third album, Minutes to Midnight, we started to work with Rick Rubin. And Rick said to me, have you ever started a song? He said, I noticed that you always start with a track and then you lay the vocals on the track and you don't change the track very much. Have you ever written a song starting with like an instrument and vocals, but like not in the computer? And I was like, yeah, like maybe once or twice. He's like, what songs? And I paused and I was like, in the end, Breaking the Habit. He's like, yeah, so it works, right? I think now when I write, so for example, I have two songs in the new Scream movie. One is a song that I produced and I co-wrote with Demi Lovato, called Still Alive. And then I have a solo song called In My Head. Both of those were kind of like written in this way where I like started the track, started some instruments, put some vocals on, tweaked the track a little bit and came back. And it's, yeah, it's a different approach.
The reason I ask is because when somebody calls and asks you to be a part of a movie soundtrack, does it have to like, you have to, how do you even go that? Do you talk about the movie? Do you talk about a story? How are you now then informed because you are almost scoring this?
Yeah. So in this case, this wasn't so much scoring. Like the only thing that I compare to scoring is I helped get the cue at the end of the movie. I helped transition from score into Demi's song. Other than that, this is like songwriting. This is not like scoring. So scoring is very different in the sense that
they don't ask you specifically, we need this kind of sound. We need you to do this for the,
They might, but in this case, no. Like what I prefer is to be able to have artistic, you know, room to build a song that's a proper song that's not so tied into the movie. So in this case, for example, like my song is much more, while it is informed by concepts in the movie, my song is more about like intrusive thoughts and paranoia and things like second guessing things that go on in your own head. Whereas Demi's song came from a conversation I had with her where she was talking about how she's gone through a lot in recent years and that she's so happy to be still alive. And I was like, and as soon as she said that, I was like, yeah, that's a great lyric. And I came back to it when we got in the studio. I was like, you said this thing, and we kind of riffed off of those words. But again, like to me, I'm probably not the kind of person to write a Ghostbusters theme where it's like the song is the movie.
Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah. That's a skill all into itself. It's just not my skill.
Boy, Mike Shinoda on the Ghostbusters song. That would be something fun, huh? It's interesting that you bring that thing up about Demi Lovato in that you trained yourself to write for other people for so long in Linkin Park. That probably services you pretty well.
I grew into it as a form of like, I mean, with Chester and in more recent years with some other singers that I've with whom I've worked, I feel like I have a lot of times I'll have ideas that I don't have the physical capacity to deliver, right? Like with Chester, for example, he could sing just about anything you'd throw at him. And Demi, similar, like her range is insane. So I can throw ideas out and then I get to hear this like world-class, you know, performance of the thing. And it just really supercharges the experience of making the song.
Is this the next step? Is it doing just a song for a movie? Are you ready to now score? We brought the scoring up. Are you ready to do
I actually did a little bit. I've done a tiny bit of scoring, and at this moment, it's not really my focus. Like I think, I did a score for a film called The Raid. I did some theme songs. I did one for Lisa Ling. I did one for a show called Into the Badlands. Mm. I think right now, for the last few years, I've spent some time doing writing and production for other artists. Some of those songs are coming out. Towards the end of last year, though, I just started getting the itch to make my own stuff again. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
And hence the new song. But yeah. Does it come with a new Mike Shinoda album as well?
At this point, no. But I'm still working. It's like a... It's an ongoing story, I guess.
I also hear, and this is through the grapevine from Mike Shinoda himself, you guys are all in the studio hanging out. Is that what I heard you say?
Oh, I mean, we hang out, you know, yeah. I see Joe and Dave quite a bit. Yeah.
But there's no tinkering? There's no...
Well, it's not like the studio. It's, I might as well be saying you're like hanging out in my living room. Like,
I know, but we're trying to create some internet gossip. I know.
I see that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.